వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభా నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యేషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యా యుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం నచే దేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాధిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కథమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి. Om Shri Sai Ram, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and you with me Team Radio Sai's Sunil welcoming you to this morning's segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is the 29th of August 2019 and it's a very special day for us here at Radio Sai, for it was on 29th August 2002, exactly 17 years back, that Swami inaugurated this Radio Sai facility, studio facility from where I'm speaking right now. Just to tell you what I recall of that day, Swami came that morning in his car and walked in and first cut the ribbon at the main entrance and then lit the ceremonial lamp that was placed at the main altar, and then after the initial opening ceremonies, Swami came to each workstation where we had prepared little presentations for Swami to see. And Swami came to each workstation where we had prepared little presentations, and Swami so lovingly saw and heard a little bit of all that was made ready for that occasion. After that, he slowly moved into the recording floor. That's where I'm sitting right now and speaking to you. Here, Swami physically blessed all the new audio-video equipment that were placed and were brought for our everyday use at the studio. Then after that, Swami slowly moved to his chair and sat and spent almost an hour speaking to all of us in this same room about the nitty-gritty of the functioning of the studio. After giving us all so much ananda, Swami took aarti, gave us all prasadam, made us all so very happy and returned back to the mandir. We are ever grateful to Swami for giving us all those wonderful moments of proximity and moments of knowledge and bliss. Dear listener, if you're interested, there is a video on this inaugural event available on our website radiosai.org for you to watch. So that was just a brief recollection of what happened on that morning on the 29th of August 2002, 17 years back, when Swami physically came to inaugurate the Radio Sai studio here at Prashanthi Nilayam. The time right now in our studios is 47 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. Let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. If we wish to be efficient in our discharge of duties, what is the best eating habit to follow? Bhagwan lovingly explains to us today, and I quote, "Food habits are of primary importance when health has to be secured and maintained. When these are not regulated, health suffers. One should restrain the wild adventuresomeness of the tongue. Among the 84 lakh species of living beings, except humans, all live on food as provided by Mother Nature. Man alone strives to make such food more palatable, more attractive to the senses of sight, touch, and smell by boiling, frying, and freezing, and mixing, grinding, and soaking. The consequence of this greed is ill health and debility. One should realize that food materials as offered by nature are really more beneficial. When heat is applied, they lose the vitality yielding components and cannot confer strength and efficiency. The person ages fast and loses the sprightliness of youth. Catering to the cravings of the tongue and swallowing heavy foods 3 or 4 times a day can only add to the heap. Regular and limited intakes alone can enable a person to discharge one's duties." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on November 20th, 1982. Dear listener, today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the book Sri Sai Satcharitra by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the second part of a special conversation with Sri T.G. Krishnamurti and Radio Sai's former director, Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, that was recorded in December of 2016. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book, and to V. Ramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Immaculate Conception of Sai Baba and his first advent in Shirdi. Nobody knew the parents' birth or birthplace of Sai Baba. Many inquiries were made, many questions were put to Baba and the others, but no satisfactory answer or information has yet been obtained. Practically, we know nothing about these matters. Namdev and Kabir were not born like ordinary mortals. They were found as infants in Mother of Pearls. Namdev was found on the bank Bhimrathi River by Gunai, and Kabir on the bank Bhagirathi River by Tanmal. Similar was the case with Sai Baba. He first manifested himself as a young lad of 16 years under a neem tree in Shirdi for the sake of bhaktas. Even then, he seemed to be full with the knowledge of Brahma. He had no desire for worldly objects, even in dreams. He kicked out Maya, and Mukti was serving at his feet. One old woman of Shirdi, the mother of Nana Chopdar, described him thus: "This young lad, fair, smart, and very handsome, was first seen under the neem tree seated in an asan. The people of the village were wonderstruck to see such a young lad practicing heart penance, not minding heat or cold. By day he associated with none, by night he was afraid of nobody. People were wondering and asking where this chap had turned up from. His form and features were so beautiful that a mere look endeared him to all. He went to nobody's door, always sat near the neem tree. Outwardly he looked very young, but by his action he was really a great soul. He was the embodiment of dispassion. He was an enigma to all. One day, it so happened that God Khandoba possessed the body of some devotee, and people began to ask him, 'Deva, you please inquire, what blessed father's son is this lad, and where has he come from?' God Khandoba asked them to bring a pickaxe and dig in a particular place. When it was dug, bricks were found underneath a flat stone. When the stone was removed, a corridor was seen, in which 4 lights were burning. The corridor led to a cellar, where cow mouth-shaped structures, wooden boards, rosaries were seen, Khandoba said, "This lad practiced penance here for 12 years. Then the people began to question the lad about this. He put them off the scene by telling them that was his guru's place, his holy vatan, and he requested them to guard it well. The people then closed the corridor as before. As Ashwatha and Audumba trees are held sacred, Baba regarded the neem tree equally sacred and loved it very much. Mahal Sapathi and other Shirdi devotees regard this site as a resting place, Samadhi Sthan of Baba's guru, and prostrate before it. Three Vadas. The site with the neem tree and the surrounding space was brought by Mr. Hari Vinayak Sate, and on this site a big building styled Sate's Vada was erected. This Vada was the sole resting place for pilgrims who flocked there. A par, or a platform, was built around the neem tree and locks with steps were constructed. Under the steps, there is a niche facing south and devotees sit on the par facing north. It's believed that he who burns incense there on Thursday and Friday evenings will by God's grace be happy. This Vada was old and dilapidated and needed repairs. The necessary repairs, additions and alterations have been made now by the Sansthan. Then after some years, another Vada, Dikshit's Vada, was constructed. Kaka Sahib Dikshit, solicitor of Mumbai, had gone to England. He had injured his leg in an accident there. The injury could not be got rid of by any means. Nana Sahib Chandorkar advised him to see Sai Baba. So, he went to Sai Baba in 1909 and requested him to cure the lameness of his mind rather than that of his leg. He was so much pleased with the darshan of Sai Baba that he decided to reside in Shirdi. So he built a Vada for himself and other devotees. The foundation of this building was laid on 10th December 1910. On this day, two other important events took place. Mr. Dada Sahib Kharpade was given permission to return home and the night aarti at the Chavdi was started. The Vada was completed and inhabited on the Ram Navami day in 1911 with due rites and formalities. Another Vada was put up by the famous millionaire Mr. Bhuti of Nagpur. Lots of money was spent on this building, but all the amount was well utilized as Sai Baba's body is resting in this Vada, which is now called the Samadhi Mandir. The site of this Mandir formerly had a garden, which was watered and looked after by Baba. Three Vadas thus came up where there was none before. Of these, Sathe's Vada was most useful to all in the early days. The story of the garden, which was attended by Sai Baba with the help of Vaman Tathya, the temporary absence of Sai Baba from Shirdi, his returning to Shirdi with the marriage party of Chand Patil, the company of Devi Das, Janki Das and Gangagir, Baba's wrestling match with Mohideen Tamboli residing in Masjid, love of Mr. Dengle and other devotees, and other incidents will be described in the next chapter. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 5. Baba's return with Chand Patil's marriage party, welcomed and addressed as Sai, contact with other saints, his attire and daily routine, the story of the Padukas, wrestling bout with Mohideen and change in life, turning water into oil, the pseudo-guru Jawahar Ali. Return with Chand Patil's marriage party. As hinted in the last chapter, I shall now describe first how Sai Baba returned to Shirdi after his disappearance. They lived in the Aurangabad district in a village called Dhoop, a well-to-do Mohammedan gentleman by name Chand Patil. While he was making a trip to Aurangabad, he lost his mare. For 2 long months, he made a diligent search, but could get no trace of the lost mare. After being disappointed, he returned from Aurangabad with a saddle on his back. After travelling 4.5 kos, he came on the way to a mango tree under the foot of which sat a fakir. He had a cap on his head, wore kafni, and had a satka under his arm, and he was preparing to smoke a chilim. On seeing Chand Patil pass by the way, he called out to him and asked him to have a smoke and to rest a little. The queer fellow of fakir asked him about the saddle. Chand Patil replied, it was of his mare which was lost some time back. The fakir asked him to search in the nala close by. He went, and wonder of wonders, Chand Patil found the mare there. He thought this fakir was not an ordinary man, but an avaliya, a great saint. He returned to the fakir with the mare. The chilim was ready for being smoked, but two things were wanting: fire to light the pipe and water to wet the chapi, or the piece of cloth through which smoke is drawn up. The fakir took his prong and thrust it forcibly into the ground, and out came a live ember which he put on the pipe. Then he dashed the satka on the ground, from where water began to ooze. The chapi was wetted with that water, wrung out and wrapped around the pipe. Thus everything being complete, the fakir smoked the chilim and then gave it also to Chand Patil. On seeing all of this, Chand Patil was wonderstruck. He requested the fakir to come to his home and accept his hospitality. Next day, he went to Patil's house and stayed there for some time. Patil was a village officer of Dhub. His wife's brother's son was to be married, and the bride was from Shirdi. So Patil made preparations to start for Shirdi for the marriage. The fakir also accompanied the marriage party. The marriage went off without any hitch. The party returned to Dhub, except the fakir, who stayed back in Shirdi and remained there forever. How the fakir got his name Sai. When the marriage party came to Shirdi, it alighted at the foot of a banyan tree in Bhagat Mahalspati's field near Khandoba's temple. The carts were loosened in the open courtyard of Khandoba's temple, and the members of the party descended one by one, and the fakir also got down. Bhagat Mahalspati saw the young fakir getting down and accosted him, "Ya Sai," which means "Welcome Sai." Others also addressed him as Sai, and from then he became Sai Baba. Contact with other saints. Sai Baba began to stay in a deserted masjid. One saint named Devi Das was living in Shirdi for many years before Baba came there. Baba liked his company and stayed with him in the Maruti temple in the Chavdi, and sometimes he lived alone. Then another saint by the name Janki Das also came there. Baba spent most of his time in talking with him, or Janki Das went to Baba's residence. So also in Vaishya household, a saint from Puntambe by name Gangagir always frequented Shirdi. When he first saw Sai Baba carrying pitchers of water in both hands for watering the garden, he was amazed and said openly, "Blessed is Shirdi that it got this precious jewel. This man is carrying water today, but he is not an ordinary fellow. As this land was fortunate and meritorious, it secured this jewel." Another famous saint by name Anandnath of Yawala Mutt, a disciple of Akalkot Maharaj, came to Shirdi with some people. And when he saw Sai Baba, he said openly, "This is a precious diamond in reality. Though he looks like an ordinary man, he is not an ordinary stone. He is a diamond. You will realize this in the near future." Saying this, he returned to Yawala. This was said while Sai Baba was still a youngster. Baba's dress and daily routine. In his young days, Sai Baba grew hair on his head, never had his head shaved. He dressed like an athlete. When he went to Rahata, which is about 3 miles from Shirdi, he brought with him small plants of marigold, jai and jui, and after cleaning, he planted and watered them. A devotee by name Vaman Tathya supplied him daily with 2 unbaked earthen pitchers. With these, Baba himself used to water the plants. He drew water from the well and carried the pitchers on his shoulder. In the evening, the pitchers were kept at the foot of the neem tree. As soon as they were placed there, they would break, as they were made of raw earth and not baked. Next day, Tathya would supply him with 2 fresh pitchers. This course went on for 3 years, and with Sai Baba's toil and effort, there grew a garden. On this site at present stands the big mansion Samadhi Mandir of Baba, which is now frequented and used by so many devotees. The story of Padukas under the neem tree. A devotee of Akalkot Maharaj by name Bhai Krishnaji Ali Bakkar worshipped the photo of Akalkot Maharaj. He once thought of going to Akalkot, which is in Solapur district. take the darshan of the Padukas of the Maharaj and offer his sincere prayer there. But before he could go there, he got a vision in his dream. Akalkot Maharaj appeared in the vision and said to him, "Now Shirdi is my resting place. Go there and offer your worship." So Bhai changed his plan and came to Shirdi, worshipped Baba, stayed there for 6 months and was very happy. As a reminiscence of this vision, he prepared the Padukas and installed them on an auspicious day of Shravan in 1912 AD under the neem tree with due ceremonies and formalities, which was conducted by Dada Kelkar and Upasani. One Dikshit Brahmin was appointed for worship and the management was entrusted to devotee Sagun. Complete version of the same story. Mr. B.V. Dev, retired Mamlatdar of Thana and a great devotee of Sai Baba, made inquiries about this matter with Sagun Meru Nayak and Govind Kamlakar Dikshit, and he has published a full version of the Padukas in Sai Leela. It runs as follows. In 1834 Shaka, which is 1912 AD, one Dr. Ram Rao Kothari of Mumbai came to Shirdi for Baba's darshan. His compounder and his friend Bhai Krishnaji Ali Baghkar accompanied him. The compounder and Bhai became intimate with Sagun Meru Nayak and G.K. Dikshit. While discussing these persons thought there must be some memorial of Sai Baba's first advent at Shirdi and sitting under the holy neem tree. They thought of installing Baba's padukas there and were going to make them of some rough stone. Then Bhai's friend, the compounder, suggested if this matter was made known to the master, Dr. Ram Rao Kothari, he would prepare nice padukas for this purpose. All liked the proposal and Dr. Kothari was informed of it. He came to Shirdi, drew a plan of the padukas. He went to Upasani Maharaj in Kandhubha's temple and showed him the plan. The latter made many improvements, drew lotus, flowers, conch, disc, maize, etc. and suggested the following shloka regarding neem tree's greatness and Baba's yogic powers be inscribed. The verse was as follow.
Sadha nirmba vikshasya mooladhivasat sudhastravinam tiktam piyapriyatam tarum kalpa vrikshadhikam sadayantam namamishwaram sadguru sayinatam.
Meaning, I bow to the Lord Sainath, who by his constant stay at the foot of the neem tree made the bitter and unpleasant taste of the neem leaves as sweet as oozing nectar, better than the Kalpavriksh, a wish-fulfilling tree. Upasani's suggestions were accepted and carried out. The padukas were made in Mumbai and sent to Shirdi with a compounder. Baba said they should be installed on the Purnima day of Shravan. On that day, at 11 a.m., G.K. Dikshit brought them on his head from the Kandhubha's temple to the Dwaraka Mai in a procession. Baba touched the padukas, saying, "These are the feet of the Lord." He asked the people to install them under the foot of the neem tree. A day before, one Parsi devotee of Mumbai named Pastha Seth sent 25 rupees by money order. Baba gave this sum for the installation of the padukas. The total expense of installation came up to 100 rupees, of which 75 were collected by subscription. For the first 5 years, G.K. Dikshit worshipped the padukas daily, and then this was done by Lakshman Kacheshwar Jakhadi. In the first 5 years, Dr. Kothari sent rupees 2 per month for lighting the lamps, and he also sent the railing around the padukas. The expense of bringing the railing from the station to Shirdi equaled 7 rupees 50 paise. The roofing was paid by Sagun Meru Nayak. Now, Jhakadi or Nana Pujari does the worship and Sagun Meru Nayak offers the Naivedya and lights the evening lamps. Bhai Krishnaji was originally a devotee of Akalkot Maharaj. He had come to Shirdi at installation of the padukas in Shaka 1834 on his way to Akalkot. He wanted to go to Akalkot after taking the darshan of Baba. He asked Baba's permission for this. Baba said, "Oh, what is there in Akalkot? Why do you want to go there? The Maharaj of that place is here, which is myself." Hearing this, Bhai did not go to Akalkot. He came to Shirdi off and on after the installation of the padukas. Mr. B.B. Dev concluded, Hemad Pant did not know these details. Had he known them, he would have not failed to depict them in his Sai Satcharitra. wrestling bout with Mohideen Tamboli and change in lifestyle. To return to other stories of Baba, there was a wrestler in Shirdi by name Mohideen Tamboli. Baba and he did not agree on some points and both had a fight. In this, Baba was defeated. Thenceforth, Baba changed his dress and his mode of living. He donned kafni, wore a langot and covered his head with a piece of cloth. He took a piece of sackcloth for his bed and was content with wearing torn and worn out rags. He always said that poverty is better than kingship, far better than lordship. The Lord is always brother of the poor. Gangagir was also very fond of wrestling. While he was once wrestling, a similar feeling of dispassion descended over him. And at the proper time, he heard the voice of an adept saying that he should wear out his body, playing with God. So he too gave up samsara and turned towards God realization. He established a mutt on the banks of the river near Puntambe and lived there with his disciples. Sai Baba did not mix and speak with the people. He only gave answers when he was questioned. By day, he always sat under the neem tree, sometimes under the shade of a babul tree, near the stream, at the outskirts of the village. In the afternoon, he would walk at random and go at times to Nimgaon. There, he frequented the house of Bala Sahib Dhengli. Baba loved Mr. Bala Sahib. His younger brother, named Nana Sahib, had no son, though he married a second wife. Bala Sahib sent Nana Sahib for taking darshan of Sai Baba, and after some time with his grace, Nana Sahib got a son. From that time onwards, people began to come in numbers to see Sai Baba, and his fame began to spread and reached Ahmednagar. Nana Sahib Chandurkar and Keshav Chidambar and many others began to come to Shirdi. Baba was surrounded by his devotees during day and slept at night in an old and dilapidated masjid. Baba's paraphernalia at this time consisted of a chilim, tobacco, a tumbrel, which is also a tin pot. He wore a long kafni, a piece of cloth around his head, and carried a satka, a short stick, which he always kept with him. The piece of white cloth on the head was twisted like matted hair and flowed down from the left ear on the back. This was not washed for weeks. He wore no shoes, no sandals. A piece of sackcloth was his seat for most of the day. He wore a waistcloth band, and for warding off cold, he always sat in front of a dhuni, which was facing south, and with his left hand resting on the wooden railing. In that dhuni, he offered an oblation of egoism, desires, and always uttered Allah Malik. The masjid in which he sat was only of 2-room dimensions, where all devotees came and saw him. After 1912, there was a change. The old masjid was repaired and a pavement was constructed. Before Baba came to live in this masjid, he lived for a long time in a place, Takia, where with ghungru tied on his ankles, Baba danced beautifully and sang with tender love. Turning water into oil. Sai Baba was very fond of lights. He used to borrow oil from shopkeepers and keep lamps burning the whole night in the masjid and temple. This went on for some time. The baniyas who supplied oil for free once met together and decided not to give him oil. When, as usual, Baba went to ask for oil, they all gave him a distinct no. Unperturbed, Baba returned to the masjid and kept the dry wicks in the lamps. The baniyas were watching him with curiosity. Baba took the tin pot, which contained very little drops of oil, put water in it and drank it, and then forced it to fall into the container. After consecrating the tin pot in this way, he again took the water from the tin pot and filled all the lamps with it and lighted them. To the surprise and dismay of the watching baniyas, the lamps began to burn and kept burning the whole night. The baniyas repented, apologized, and Baba forgave them and asked them to be more truthful in the future. The pseudo guru Jawahar Ali. 5 years after the wrestling bout of the above mentioned, one fakir from Ahmednagar by named Jawahar Ali came to Rahata with his disciples and stayed in the spacious rooms near Veerabhadra temple. The fakir was learned, could repeat the whole Quran and had a sweet tongue. Many religious and devout people of the village came to him and began to respect him. With the help of the people, he started to build an Eidgah, near the Virabhadra temple. There was some quarrel about this affair, on account of which Jawahar Ali had to leave Prahata. Then he came to Shirdi and lived in the masjid with Baba. People were captured by his sweet talk and he began to call Baba his disciple. Baba did not object. He consented to be his chela. Then both Guru and chela decided to return to Rahata and live there. The Guru never knew his disciple's worth, but the disciple knew the shortcomings of the Guru. Still, he never disrespected him, observing carefully his duties. He even served the master in various ways. They used to come to Shirdi off and on, but their mainstay was in Rahata. The loving devotees of Baba in Shirdi did not like that Baba should stay away from them in Rahata. So they went in a deputation to bring Baba back to Shirdi. When they met Baba near the Eidgah and told the purpose for which they had come, Baba said to them, the fakir was an angry, ill-tempered fellow. He would not leave him, and that they should better go back to Shirdi without him before the fakir returned. While they were thus talking, the fakir turned up. He was very angry with them for trying to take away his disciple. There was some hot discussion and altercation, and it was finally decided that both the Guru and the Chela should return to Shirdi. And so they returned and lived in Shirdi for a long time. But after a few days, the Guru was tested by Devidas and he was found wanting. 12 years before Baba arrived in Shirdi with the marriage party, this Devidas was about 10 or 12 years then. He came to Shirdi and lived in the Maruti temple. Devidas had fine features and brilliant eyes, and he was dispassion incarnate and a dhyani. Many persons, namely Tatya Kote, Kashinath and others, regarded him as their guru. They brought Jawahar Ali in his presence, and in the discussion that followed, Jawahar was worsted and fled from Shirdi. He went and stayed in Bijapur and returned after many years to Shirdi and prostrated himself before Sai Baba. The delusion that he was guru and Sai Baba his chela was cleared away, and as he repented, Sai Baba treated him with respect. In this case, Sai Baba showed by his conduct how one could get rid of egoism and do the duties of a disciple to attain the highest end of self-realization. This story is told here according to the version by Mahal Sapathi. In the next chapter will be described Ram Navami festival, the masjid, its former condition and later improvement. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
Om Sri Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
This is Professor Sudhir Bhaskar welcoming all our listeners. Yet another an interaction with, like I mentioned in my previous edition, a most colorful personality, multifaceted, talented, a person who acted in movies as hero, was a boxing champion. From atheist, he has become one of the staunch theists who had read through Bhagavatam totally, read in the original form which is in Sanskrit, which he learned Sanskrit from a teacher who was a Sanskrit professor, and on his own with a dictionary by the side, Sanskrit to English. And almost about 10,000 verses of the original Bhagavatam he had translated. And then with whatever explanation which is given for the Sanskrit, he had shown correspondingly what is with respect to Swami. So we can see from his this one literature that there is a lot of resemblance or correlation and indication that both are same. Welcome to you, sir, T.G. Krishnamurthy Garu.
Sai Ram, sir.
Last time now you had covered a lot of areas, quite a few of them are diverse. But this time I would like to concentrate on a few aspects. All of us have been very thrilled or wonderstruck about certain incidents or certain miracles which Swami had performed. And one of the most fascinating thing which goes beyond possible rational explanation is bringing back somebody to life.
Yes.
Classic example is Kannam Subbamma and Walter Cowan. And one which happened in Bukkapatnam, first one, second one which happened in Chennai. Also came to know that Mr. Kasturi was the one witness to the first incident. And he had written in detail in the Santyam Somasundaram. And I personally have this knowledge that no, you were there with Swami. You had actually driven Swami from Sundaram to Lady Wellington Hospital where Mr. Walter Cowan was lying down. And message was that he had already passed away. Of course, that more details are already available in print media. But we also know that no, you had been with Swami for more than 50 years. From 67 onwards, as you mentioned. More close interaction. The first incident was in Anantapur, where you did not believe much about Swami and did not know much about Swami and how Swami took you to that remote village to meet that Mohammedan. Now, I want to ask you a simple one. I'm quite sure in the long, long association you had with Swami, similar incident possibly must have happened. And if so, I would like you to explain a little more about it.
Yes, in 1978, whenever we wanted to invite Swami, we used to go to Vrindavan, and Swami gives us a list of the people who are going to come along with him, and how many cars required, and each car, who are the persons who are going to sit. He will give the list. First car, so-and-so, second car, so-and-so. And you must see there, third car, some people are there. In that car, please do not put any sweets because they are diabetic patients. Give only savory. In another car, is acidic. Don't give orange fruits. Give some other fruit, but not orange. Last car, prostate problem. They'll stop the car. They may urinate somewhere. They'll come back here. So, prostate people. This is how we used to, they used to arrange cars. So, we brought them to Sundaram. Sundaram was, well, Swami was received with Purna Kumbh, all those things. And as usual, I was the driver to take him to different places. And my state president used to give us the information. Today, Swami is going to visit devotee A, devotee B, devotee C. So we used to know what is the route, where is the stays, how to go, and all those things. We used to arrange. Those days, you know, there was no cell phone. So scooter, two-wheelers are there. So we told that the pillion member, we asked to turn and watch me. And whenever Swami says, whenever take a right turn, I put the indicator to the right, he turns right. So, you know, we still manage, so that we don't miss.
Those scooters or motorcycles were like a pilot for you.
I knew the route, he also knew the route, but at the same time, we wanted to make sure that Swami does not like to go in wrong route or take a longer route. He does not like, we know he's Swami's taste. So, one day what happened, so he sat in the car. Both of us go. So, scooter people, they are going pilots. So, about 100 feet before the signal, Swami, should you have to go to left or right, I said. Because no instruction was given on that day where to go. Put a right indicator. So, I put a right. So, the scooter went to the right side. No, you go to the left, he said. So, I had to turn to the left. And the scooter fellow went right. I also left a lot. The distance became more than 200, 300 meters.
And I was basically, he was trying to divert them from, you know, following you or know where you are going. Am I right?
Yes, you are correct. But I was confused. I was, you know, my mind was in emotion. Said, what to do? Suppose something happened to the car in the city of Chennai. You may imagine how to save the... And my state president was a military major. No, he backs me left and right. So I was only worried about that. And Swami said, go to the left, go to the right, go to the left. Finally, we landed in Lady Wellington nursing home at 11:10 a.m.
So, but by then, pillionary at that vehicles were lost.
I was alone and Swami, and I was only praying to Bhagavan, please see that we go safely, come back to Sundaram safely. That's all I was, my prayer. So 11:10, Swami, now 11 o'clock, people are not allowed, Swami, guests are not allowed. Only after 4 o'clock will Swami. Parvaledu, it's okay, you please go to the foyer. So, Swami, the watchman will be there and Parvaledu, go. So I went there, the doors were grilled gates, opened for about 5 feet width was there. Swami got out. Swami, I also, no, you be in the car, you said. So Swami was walking, going up, went upstairs, first
floor. Normally to prevent all these visitors coming, they just lock the gate, I guess.
The 11 a.m., there's no visitors allowed. Their rule, I know, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., no one's allowed. Only between 4 to 6 p.m. in the evening, 9 to 11 in the morning, the patients, the guests were allowed. So when 11 a.m., lock was, but unfortunately there was no lock. So he went up. I was pinched, what to do? I was terrified. So whether Swami will be going alone, our nurses will be there, our doctors will be there, what will happen, where does he go, which particular room, nothing. So I was tension, watching, every time watching upstairs. And his first came down. And immediately
talked to him. After some time?
After some, but about 10 minutes, not more than 10 minutes. So we sat in the car. I coolly asked Swami, where did you go?
See,
I was a little, I should say, ignorant and also innocent, both.
Okay, your innocence took control of it and then bailed you out of any situation from Swami.
Then the point is, only two people were in the car, myself and Swami. Naturally, we had to talk whether it is rubbish or no, not rubbish. I had to say something. So naturally, see, first of all, I also wanted to know how could you, I should not have sent him alone. That is the rule according to our organization rule.
So that no, all the devotees are, oh, no, any visitor could have actually
Swami,
come,
like
get out Swami.
Swami is like a flower.
Yeah.
See, I did not want anybody to touch him. So, Swami, what happened, Swami? You know Parvatama? Yes. Yeah, that is our wife of Almatala IAS officer. Yes, yes, I know, Swami. See, she died 1 hour ago, but I wanted her to do some job again here.
Okay.
So, I brought her life back, and I gave a cup of coffee to her, and then came back. So, I was driving.
Coffee.
He gave coffee also, it seems.
But he didn't carry any flask or anything.
No, I don't know, slowly. Then I was looking at him again through the glass. Hey, buffalo, see the road, don't see me. I said, the whole thing I was wondering, the coffee, then like she died, and all sorts of things. And then what happened, Swami? Again, further question. No, they wanted to discharge that death certificate they are writing and all those things. But before it was signed by the chief, you know, they knew that this, now she is alive. So I came back to Sundaram.
Swami told how he gave coffee?
No, I did not ask him.
Okay.
I did not ask him because I was so scared to put more questions. I came to Sundaram. Then my Swami went up, then my Major General, Major Rayaninger, he started, why did you go? How could you say, take Swami alone? I said, what to do? Swami wanted to go to left and right, do you want me to stop the car? I cannot stop the car. I said, no, this is not the way to do it. No, you are not.
He's a disciplined, I know.
Disciplined, he is full for his fault of discipline. To say. Those days were very disciplined in those days. Then, immediately I took all the bangings, did not listen properly. I took my car, kept the nursing home at about 12:05 or 12:10 or something like that. So there was a Gurkha. Those days Gurkha was the locking system. I said, Mr. Gurkha, see, I came here with some guests. I did not have to mention my Swami's name. My guest went there at 11:10. You were not there, no, the door was open. He went there. And he wanted me to pass on some message to that lady. There's a patient, Parvatama is there. So I allow me to go. That fellow looked at me like a villain. You are an educated man. And you are telling me the gate was opened at 11:10. And I came here and locked at 10:55. And I was seated here till now. I did not go out of the place from 10:55 a.m. till now. And you are telling me the gate was open. I was not there. What are you talking? You're educated man, you should not tell lies like this. Now how to argue with him? So I was only scared, I was just waiting, what is it, how to go, instead, you know, luckily a doctor came, who is a friend of mine. I said, I want to see this patient like this, and then he took me inside. So I went to Parvatama.
So along with the doctor, he opened the gate for him, both of you went in.
I went there, then I went to Parvatama. So, Parvatama, how are you? Swami came to you. So what happened? I said, I don't know, I heard Parvatama, three times I heard, and then I got up. What are you doing here? He said, Swami, no, you come this time, you got to do a lot of job, you got to be the chairman for that Andhra Mahila Sabha, you have to take up chairmanship. And then the Pigonda that I have Thursday, he says, yes, the coffee tago. I see he put his little finger in my mouth. Then the coffee was coming from through from the little finger, right hand little finger. So I was gulping.
So that's how the coffee came.
That's what they called the sala, he said. Then after 6 or 7 gulps, I said, okay, sala. So coffee, I wrote, yes, I had coffee from Swami. Then now what are going, now tomorrow I'll be discharging from here. Swami said, come tomorrow to Sundaram. So tomorrow I have to go to Sundaram. Then I came back home, and then I had my lunch, went at 3 o'clock, 3:10, Swami called me up. Where did you go after you left me here? No, I can't.
Cross-check. Now your integration is going for you now.
No, what to say, Swami, I went to nursing home, Swami. Who asked you to go? Did I ask you to go? No, Swami. Then why did you go? Swami, I just wanted to see how Paratama felt about it. You are trying to test me? Rama Rama, Swami, please don't put me all this. I am infant before you, Swami. What is this, Swami? I said, all right, then what happened? So I went there, Swami, everything I came to know. Marchipo, do not talk about it anywhere. Understand? Yes, Swami. Then I had Paranamaskaram and Swami came away. I really forgot about it. I never opened, after that I must have spoken more than 60, 70 places about our lectures and all. I never mentioned this because Swami did not give that idea to me to talk about it. See, he controls that everyday source, he controls our mind. If he wants to allow to talk, you can talk. If he does not allow to talk, he controls his mind. That is the way you must have seen in Lord Vishnu when he took his photo. When in one hand he has got a lotus flower. What does it represent? Each petal represents the mind of the people which he holds it. That is the significance of, inner significance of the lotus flower, the Lord Vishnu holds it. So that is itself, Lord Vishnu is here now. He holds all our minds under his control only. Slowly he is visualizing to me to understand that Lord Vishnu is here. From minus to zero, zero to plus, I was moving towards reality.
On behalf of the Radio Sai listeners, I would like to thank you, sir. I think this is the first time anybody is going to listen about somebody called Parvatamma and the incident of bringing her back to life. Thank you very much for sharing. I'm quite sure this must have been purely based on Swami's inspiration for you now to reveal certain aspects of Swami's divinity, which, you know, not that we have any of us have any doubt about it, but some of the things which you personally have seen it, many of us have read only in the past what has happened. You yourself have seen it, and in first person description, I think is very valuable for us. Thank you very much, sir.
I was fortunate enough to be with him.
Sir, you have been in the long association. I'm quite sure you must have spent a lot of time with Swami in Sundaram, because you were district president when the Sundaram building was inaugurated, I think 1976. And also subsequently you became convener, then you became the state president, you became the convener of the state trust. Having held multiple portfolios, you must have definitely had a lot of interaction, especially almost every year, if I remember. At least twice a year, Swami used to come to Sundaram. So, any particular incident comes to your mind, which you would like to share with our listeners, which, you know, indicates things, you know, which he looks at with unity of faith in mind.
You see, Swami knows our past, our present and future. Everybody talks about it. Bhagavad Gita also says, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, I know you for more than 5,000 years ago. So, Swami came to Sundaram. Sundaram was open. Inauguration was done in 14th, 1976, Tamil New Year's Day. So on that day there was a big crowd and all those things. And after some time Swami was relaxed. And myself and Rainangar and on Manika Vasakam and on P.J. Achitanam, they're all the office bearers. I was only junior at that age for them. So we four of us went and sat. And Swami had a rosary bead, we call it.
Rosary bead, it's not with made Rudraksha in Tila,
no Rudraksha, no Tulsi Mala. That is spaticum, we call it. That is prism.
Oh.
108 prism cells are there, and through that a rose color thread goes outside. That is, they call it rosary bead. So Swami was keeping his hand.
Rosary bead.
Swami, you wanted to give it to somebody else. So I kept. Then he showed this. Is it Tilsamiko? You know about it? Then I only said, Swami, rosary bead, generally it is used in the church. Rosary bead, the fathers, priests and all the...
That is for now, doing the japa.
Then, why I have it here now? We don't know, Swami. Then he said, there was a French lady in Paris. She studied Indian philosophy, but she got married to a French citizen.
That must be long, long back.
Long back. I'm talking about 1920s. So I said it's 1920s.
1920s, she used to be there. Yeah, okay.
And then in 27, she got divorced from her husband because her husband did not want her to study Indian philosophy. He wanted to be a disciple, but she refused. Therefore, there was a divorce. After I adventured in India in 1926, this lady came to Pondicherry to search for the reality about monism. She was a French citizen and she went to Pondicherry.
At that time it was a French colony.
Pondicherry was a French colony.
French colony.
So there she kept quiet. Somebody so told her, you should go to Kasi. There you can, that is Lord Shiva's place, he said.
She wanted more about the philosophy and monism.
So Advaitic philosophy.
Advaitic.
So she went to Varanasi, stayed for about 2-3 years there. She was a little confused, she did not know. There, I believe one of the sages told her, you go back to your place, you will see Lord Shiva in human form, he will appear to you. With that firm faith, she came back, stayed in Pondicherry.
I think she must have left France and then settled down.
Yeah, she never begged. Once she landed in India, and she never went back.
Okay.
Then went to Pondicherry, she was only concentrating on Shiva. And she came to know about somewhere near Nagapattinam, there is a small Shiva temple. So she wanted to, she went there. She started learning some Tamil. And she used to help that Acharya, whatever the temple wanted, she used to give and all those. So that man died in 1975, that Pujari, or Acharya, may call him. You will certainly see Lord Shiva in human form.
The priest of the temple.
A priest of that. He said, you will certainly see Lord Shiva in human form. So one more...
confirmation.
One faith in the Vaisa Varanasi, another faith in Nagapattinam. She was 100% sure that I am going to see Lord Shiva before I die. So settled down again in Pondicherry. In 69, somebody told her, it seems, that Lord Shiva is in Puttaparthi.
1969.
She was already 70 years old at the time. Just imagine how many years she took to realize me. Swami says so. Her determination, she never got married again. She was a Shuddha, spinster. Sannyasi. She is a sannyasi. She lived like a sannyasi. That's how I was attached to her. Then I brought her to 69. I made her stay here for 3 years.
Oh.
So, Puttaparthi. Well, she stayed here in 1970, 71, 72.
Possibly you have been, must have seen.
I was also there. Swami also said, Nukuda Undu Apudu. He said,
Swami himself told you, some working, some seva, we are working.
But we never knew all these things. Then.
Those days everything was sand-based.
In those days there is no Kulwant Hall, there is no Purnashandra Hall outside. Really.
Even Mandir was old Bangalore.
Old Mandir. So then she was about to go. Then I said, I went to her. Now you see me. Outside only. Then she saw the form of Lord Shiva. Then I materialized this rosary bead to her. Go. Mention Om Namah Shivaya. Use this bead. I gave it to her. Then she went back to Pondicherry.
Did Swami say anything to her after giving
chant Om Namah Shivaya. That's
okay.
Okay. Om Namah Shivaya chant. And she went back in 76. About 10 days ago. And she wrote a will that she had to be cremated according to Vedic culture. She was worried what to do with this particular mala because I am not going to live long. I told her, you don't worry about it, it will come back to me. You also come back to me, he said.
So that's all.
You also come, you will come back to me because you have no rebirth anymore. Because you have spent whole of time about me. Whole of your lifetime about me, he said. So now she came to Swami said, Ipaduchindi. Today she reached me, her rosary bead also came back to me, he showed that. This was said in 14th April 1976 in the first floor at Sundaram. We were all gazed, wide open, listening. But those days, we are still immature about Swami's reality. You know, we took it as a miracle. Just a miracle. But understand, Swami said, understand our life. Her whole life was, she was Western country, Paris, France, and she lived in India for my sake. So how can I be alone? I will not, she had to be in my heart permanently.
So she had a merger.
Merger in Swami. I tears come to my eyes, the way Innu Swami blessed people.
Actually, Swami told you live. That means real time what was happening, that today she is merged in me.
Here is the rosary bead. He says, this is the rosary bush I gave her in 72 or 71. Came back to me, he says. Then, how to answer this? What to just kept on listening, no questions, wide open our eyes and also mouth also.
You must have been really blessed.
See, I don't know why Swami, unfortunately, the four people we listened, myself, Rayananga, Rajatanam, Mani, all the three died. I'm alone. I'm yet to die.
No, you will not live long enough. You will see
Swami,
centuries.
Swami,
no,
whenever Swami, we are ready. Whenever Swami wants, we go.
I think this is one more pramanam about your being blessed by Swami
really,
in such a way.
When I think about it, you see, I just, blissful tears come from my eyes. How Swami...
I mean, as we are also feeling that now I can see my goose pimples, when
you're talking
about
blissful tears come
it.
To my eyes when we see, think of this, sometimes, and especially night when I go to bed, night 1 o'clock, he wakes me up. He puts me all these stories, one by one, incidents. I enjoyed for about half an hour, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, like that. Then only every night you take it from me. I go to bed about 10:30, 11 o'clock. I don't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I get up by 1 o'clock, 12:30, 12:45, 1:45, somewhere. I guess these things. Remember? I just tears come from my eyes. I did not want to tell anybody, not even my wife. I enjoy myself, Swami. I am enjoying your presence. I am enjoying your presence. So every day I am with him. This is my life. I am 80. I walk 4 kilometers a day, every day. I'm physically strong, mentally strong, and spiritually, Bhagavan gave me the wisdom. That's all I can say.
You're really blessed. And we are very happy that you're able to share all these things with the listeners of Radio Sai. Sir, I've seen you a lot of times interacting with one gentleman called Mr. Raj Dorai. Just for his introduction, I think, to the listeners, Mr. Raj Dorai was cabinet central minister in Sri Lanka. And Swami himself had once said in the veranda when introducing him to us that he is the one person who had done Ashwamedha Yagam.
Yes.
I mean, this is the only person in this century or in this particular time period who has done Ashwamedha Yagam in
Sri Lanka.
Am I right?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. And then I think somewhere he must have introduced you because you became very close friends and the way I used to see you interacting in the outside mandir after the darshan is over. Was really very heartening. Can you just say something about that incident or whatever which made you to get so close to him?
Rajadarai is still alive. He is 88 years.
Yeah.
He came out,
two weeks ago,
Prasanthinilayam.
Yeah, I saw him, I met him.
To celebrate his 88th birthday in the divine presence of Bhagavan. He stayed in here, enjoyed one particular on that day, had full day spent in the years before Samadhi and came back. He's still alive, he's now resident of Chennai. So during that time, Swami introduced me. I say he's a good Tamil orator. This was in the 70s, 75, 76, like that.
Okay.
He was a good orator in Tamil.
Utilize him for any of the Tamil conferences.
So I used to come, please come sir, you talk in Tamil in Madurai, Trichy, this place and all those things. So we come so close. And as a cabinet minister, he invited me, why can't you come and talk? I said, you are also talking well, why can't you come and talk? I said, okay. So I went to Sri Lanka. And he was there to invite me and we went to Sri Lanka center in Colombo. So I gave a talk for about after 45 minutes. Afterwards, he thought I'll get back to my hotel and all. No, come with me. He said he took me to a Buddhist monastery.
Buddhist monastery. Oh. Why suddenly?
I asked, why is Rajadarai, why are you going? You said, come, you will see. Why you keep quiet? Just come, follow me. He said, okay, he's elderly, he's about 8 years, he's senior to me in age also.
Yes.
I said, okay, it's all right. After all, I am like a tourist. That was the first visit to me in Sri Lanka. I never visited before. So then I went there. He took me to inside Buddha statue. Next to Buddha statue, there is a big photo of our Swami, at least 5 feet width and about nearly 6 to 7 feet length.
Height. That is more than life size.
Then he said, Rajadarai, see, Patikla, I mean, have you seen this photo? Yes, I'm saying, how did this photo come here? I said, you should wait. He called the
chief
monk.
Of the
monk. He was about 45 years. So he said, please explain to him how you got this photo here. He said, my predecessor, I was young, I came here at the age of 10. I was trained by my predecessor who was blind. And we were serving. Foreign devotees used to come from Singapore, Philippines, Thailand, like that. They used to come and tell us, see, Lord Buddha is in Puttaparthi. Lord Buddha is in Puttaparthi.
So the devotees of Buddha used to tell about to them in that center.
To that blind man and our monk and myself. And once our priest said, I said, why can't we also go to Puttaparthi and see? You sit next to me and explain what is going on there.
Because he can't see.
Because he can't see. So then both came, we went there, both we sat there, and Swami used to go.
They both, you were telling you, right.
Swami used to walk, and then the junior used to explain to the senior, Swami now is coming like this, this is the pink dress, this is going this kind of a dress, he is walking, he midlayed something, superior was taking letters, everything he was explaining to for the first 2 days. So this old man was enjoying the presence of, without seeing presence of, then he said, I wish I also could see. Third day, Swami went to him, and you want to see me?
In the darshan line itself.
Darshan line itself. You want to see me? Darshan, he simply touched his two eyes. He opened his eyes and saw.
He got back his vision.
Vision, he saw Swami. This is Swami. This is Buddha now in this form. He said, Buddha now is in this form. This was the word, he said. And junior was so happy that our senior got the vision. We had, Swami wanted to touch a few, we both took Padamaskaram. And then Swami, we go do your job, he said.
So he went back.
Go do your job. So we made this photo. We did not, because this is unusual photo. The big photo, we made it, we blown up bigger, whatever. Then we brought it here and we installed. Then the Buddhist devotee did not want to come to this temple.
This monastery.
Because you are keeping Samadhi's photo. Then our senior said, interested you come, otherwise you need not go. I know, I'm doing, my conscience is right. Then foreign Buddhists used to come here, and they used to enjoy the presence of Swami. Then, when they are enjoying, the local Buddhists also slowly, I understood. And when my priestess was about to die, he told me, don't remove this photo. As long as Sri Lanka is there, as long as the Buddhism is in Sri Lanka, the photo has to be there. So this is what the old, my priestess told me. Now this is the photo here. Yeah. Everybody is coming, everybody is watching. So, Rajdore, now you know why I brought you here? He says, see, like that world, we don't know where, what is going on in this world. We think we are the only people who know Swami. Others do not know. We think others are ignorant. In fact, we are ignorant. We are ignorant. Look at the way in which they experience.
That's why Swami says, in the pond, in the lotus.
Yeah, we are something like a frog in the well.
You know, you are the frogs, but they don't know what the value of it. Only the bamra bee who comes from far away, I guess.
All away from that, and take the bee, the honey bee, and see, and even now you can go and see. Even today, last month I toured 10 days in Sri Lanka, touring about all the places. I went to that place again. Again, he's there.
That man, that...
Junior is now about 60 years or 60, 65 years. He's there. See, you remember last time you came in Rajdore, he said, yes, I will. What do you say for it?
I think... Yeah.
So really, see, and Swami, as if he does not know anything, as if he's so ignorant, so he's like a baby, and he wants us to talk about Swami. He says, what do you say about, as if, no, we are giving a lecture to Swami.
No, I do give advice to him, what is to be done about anything else.
What a fool, see, the way
this is what the delusion is all about. Maya of Swami engulfs him in such a way that
Way in which he talks to us, you see, we are floored, every second we are floored, nothing, he is indescribable, is infinite. He is infinite.
Yeah. In that context, I would like you to tell us, our listeners, how should we enjoy Swami?
You see, it is a question, how to enjoy Swami?
Enjoy means, no.
Experience.
The bliss, you know, which you can
get. Enjoy means blissfulness. Blissfulness comes only when you experience.
Yes.
Now, who taught the mother to love children? Did any special school? No. That love is inborn in every human being. Am I correct? Do you accept it? Now,
yes.
Who taught your mother to take care of you? Nobody taught.
Yeah.
Even animals, you see, the other animal, mother animal takes care of the children, the child.
Yes.
Prepared to do anything. You see, the nest birds, the mother bird goes all over to get food, keep it in her throat, brings it here, gives it back to the chick to, from the north, one by one, till it flies. It is, God has given that kind of a sacrificing nature for every adult to take care of the youngsters. It is given. That is called love. That is experienced.
Very good.
So you have to, for example, now you take one more example I'll give you. So for 5 or 6 years, there were no children for a woman. After 5 or 6 years, a baby was born. She was so fond of this thing. She is a member of our Satyasai organization. She was supposed to give a talk about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. So by 8 to 10, she has to be there, and the children, who care to take care of the children? So she calls her mother-in-law. Please, mother-in-law, see, 7 o'clock, you got this pill, 8 o'clock, this medicine, 9 o'clock, these drops, 10 o'clock, diaper changing. I'll come back by 11. Please take care of it. Oh, don't worry, you go, Swami's work, you go, I'll take care of it. Now she comes here, in the presence of the people, when she was talking, she forgets about her child. When he goes to the restroom, oh, now it's 10 o'clock. My mother must have given all these things. A thought comes. Oh, yesterday evening, when I took my child, my child urinates on my head. And she laughs at herself. Others are watching. Why are you laughing? But she's enjoying the presence of the child. In the restroom, she's enjoying. How? Because her love for the child is too much. So wherever she goes, she feels the presence of the child. So same way, we especially for man, is a little arrogant by nature, by ego is by nature. Mahilas are very tender in experiencing this. We are men, and for everything they want some proof, because they believe in their physical strength. Man has got three kinds of strength, you must know. Bhujabalam, muscle power,
buddhibalam,
intelligence power, atmabalam.
Atmabalam.
So as long as these two, bhujabalam, buddhibalam is there, you will never experience God, Swami.
So you have to subdue it.
Subdue these things. That's why when we say, why in our car, in our Vedic, everything we start with Om. When we say Om, what happens? The power of the mind comes down. Power of the spirit goes up. That's why we say Om so many times. 9 times, 10 times, 10 times. The mind comes down. So now if you want to experience.
In the morning when we do Suprabhata 21 times, chanting.
That Om has such a meaning. Now what happened? Once you know, for example, this Swami is the way in which, how he sacrificed for everybody. We are listening. You are not able to find out any selfish act in his life.
Everything was a paropkar.
Every whole life. Even some of the politicians, our chief ministers. And when Swami gave this water, 284 crores spent for Tamil Nadu water, he never asked for anything. He gave permission. He only said, I was in charge at that time. Permission to Tiskura. So Chandrababu Naidu, the chief minister of the team, he gave permission up to Tamil Andhra border. Then Andhra border to Tamil Nadu, some other chief minister was there. She said, no, we'll take care of it. She said. So we saw him forget about it. Later on, another government came, another chief minister came. He asked, he said, please do it. So that 44 kilometers also was done in a complete vessel with
no seepage.
Now at that time, when Swami happened to be in Chennai, so the chief minister wanted to invite Swami. He did not know how to invite. Then he sent a letter to Swami. Swami said, okay, I'm coming. So immediately, grand function was arranged. Chief Minister of Karnataka, Chief Minister of Andhra, Lallu Prasad Yadav was Railway Minister at that time, and Sivaraj Patil was the Home Minister. All people came, and later on, next day, there's one strong, hardcore atheist group. That man came to the Chief Minister. How could you invite these people like this? He said, forget about it. There was one Puttaparthi, have you heard of it? We only came to know now only. One person who are not educated, hardly 8th class or 10th class, and people are pouring money like him, and did he spend any paisa for himself? He gave 4 dishes of water in Andhra, some 2 dishes in Karnataka, 1 dish in here, 1 university is there. How many thousands of crores he has spent? And I understand he is only like this, he only eats this much.
Small quantity of rice.
Small quantity of rice and also kali, we call it ragi balls. This is what I heard.
Ragi
because we got our own information about him. And then he never invites anybody alone, always in groups. So that people should not talk ill about him. So much care, so much love. And now what happened? Did we ask for water? No. He said, we'll give water. Can we say no to him? We don't want. Can you say that? 284 stone. Is it not human courtesy to thank him at least? Or people talking about God. Let them talk about God. I say, you are concerned about the way in which he served our Tamil Nadu in giving this water. We have to bow down our head. Do you know what happened our chief minister at that time? Government calendar. You put Swami's photo.
Complete change.
3 lakhs, 4 lakhs photo calendars.
Because in every office they put.
Big photo Swami. And in the various other industries photo, but Swami photo is prominent. Nobody to question. No MLA, nobody questioned him.
Because of the good work.
That is Swami's love conquers all. However you may be great in power, in intelligence, in intellectual arrogance, in your beauty, money, wealth, everything. But love conquers.
Including philosophy. Huh? Including philosophy.
Love conquers all. Today, they are staunch devotees of Swami. In their house, a lot of Tamil books are there for Swami and their wife, everything, putting vibhuti, kumkum, everything. And Swami also, whenever our people, those politicians go out, they see Swami's photo and then go out from the house. They keep Swami's photo in their house. Once upon a time, they belong to atheist group. What do you separate?
Love.
What? Love. He's love. So when Swami is love, you have to experience that love. Those atheists are able to experience his love.
Why not others?
Why can't we? Otherwise, a man for 40 or 60 years, he's also a senior. He's also 60 years of atheistic philosophy. All the 60 firm philosophy, deep-rooted philosophy, one day just like that it gone.
Like a mist.
Just finished. Reason? Love, Swami's love. Nothing else.
I think that's what we should experience. And
you must experience.
That gives us the bliss.
You just imagine now how much Swami has done. Sorry, correct. He has come alone. He hardly studied up to 8th standard, 10th standard.
8th form, he says.
Huh?
Fifth form, which fifth form, whatever you may call it.
And how many chief justices came to touch his feet? How many politicians came and touched feet? How many prime ministers came? How many presidents came? How many people came? Why? What made them to come?
Kings also came. King of Nepal also came and touched.
Why king? We brought Abu Dhabi education minister.
Ah, yeah, you told me. I was there when he was.
I brought him.
You were.
I went to put Abu Dhabi, he said, please take me, I should want to see. A pure Muslim.
Pure Muslim.
A pure Muslim. Arabian pure Muslim. He came here to see Swami. He stayed for the night.
What did he say after he went back?
He said, Allah. Allah. And you know one thing? Cricket here, you must have said, there is a cricket match in 1999. There is a cricket match. Swami arranged a cricket match because Sunil Gavaskar all requested. And then,
Unity Cup.
Do you know? Zahir Abbas from Pakistan. Anif Muhammad recently died. Another Muslim name I forgot. This is a Pakistan player who did not play but came as a guest. Now, Sunil Gavaskar invited them to sit in the veranda. And Anif Muhammad was staunch Muhammad. These dolls were there, idols were there. These are all, we are supposed to idol breakers. How can I sit and all those things? And Zahir Abbas said, consult our policy, let us sit here, what is there, we can sit here. So Zahir Abbas was consoling Anif Muhammad. And Sunil Gavaskar said, wait. Swami came, Swami called Sunil Gavaskar and Zahir Abbas only inside. Anif Muhammad was not called. And for him, you know, Zahir Abbas, for him, he metallized a chain with a prism. About hardly half an inch or 3-4 bits, and length is about 2 inches. Empty, transparent. See, transparent. Swami put his hand, and that imagine. Now read in Arabic language. You could see Allah. Hand is removed. Allah is all gone. Now you put it in your hand. Put Allah. Remove hand. Now it's transparent. Wear it. He gave it to Zahir Abbas. Zahir Abbas came back.
Came
and
out
told Sunil Gavaskar, I said, how can I go explain this to my Pakistan people? What to do? If I tell them, they'll kill me. Then Sunil said, why you want to make an entertainment? Are you happy? Are you satisfied that he is not like you and me? Oh, certainly. I have to bow down my head, I say. It's not an easy joke, he said. Just imagine. Then Anif Muhammad said, I too should have come, I had made a mistake of arguing with you. So why I'm telling you, because nowhere in this country who could hate Swami. Nowhere.
Nowhere is there. Nowhere in the world.
Nowhere in the world. So, that experience, you know, if you just, you think about it, tears come to your eyes, you will experience it. Yeah. There is no special course where how to experience Swami, no. It is there in you.
No sadhana is needed except.
It is there in you. What only you have to, you don't do it. I experience every night Swami. Morning, I'm so fresh and with a smiling face and all those things. And you know, because I was with Swami. At least half an hour I was with Swami. That's why you must feel it.
Correct.
Then, that's why in Sanskrit, what is it saying? Yasmin vignate sarvam evam vignatam bhavati means, if you experience God, you need not have to know anything. Everything, you will know everything in this world. That's what, that is true statement. True statement. He gives you all the power that you need. He gives you food. He gives you clothing. He gives you to speak. You need not have to prepare. He prepares for you and you are only a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
You are only a mouthpiece.
Because we are speakers.
Aye.
We are speakers.
That's actually all.
There's a difference between the way we can understand speaker is, when somebody used to give a talk in front of Swami in the Cyclone Tall and Poonchandra, hey, you are a very good speaker, very good speaker. And people said, they thought that they were the ones who talked. Then one day he came to us, when just behind the Ganesha in the veranda and said, speaker, how is the speaker? We just were wondering why Swami was saying this. There must be something which is there which is going to communicate to us. We just kept quiet. Then Swami says, speaker means somebody will speak and it comes out of him.
Somebody speaks?
And it comes out of him.
Out of him.
And who is speaking to come out of him? We said, Swami, only you can speak.
Only you?
Then he becomes a speaker. That way, if we take that stand, that now when you're standing,
correct.
That's from inside Swami is going to speak.
Correct.
And we are just only a mouthpiece.
You're only relaying outside. Just relay.
Yes.
You're only relaying outside.
That's the real feeling if we have, then no. I think the whatever is there.
We can't forget this. We can't live without him now. We can't live without him. Wherever you be. The age is not the criterion. See, experience.
No, but when you say we can't live without him, I think he's there with all of us in some form or the other, some experience or the other, in some way, is some evidence that he's there along with us continuously.
You have to feel for him first. Feel for him.
Find for him first.
No, feel. F-E-A-L. Feel for him. For example, you lost some money. You feel for it.
That way you say.
That way you don't feel for Swami. Swami, physically you are not here now. But do they have to forget you? No. You are there with me now. You know, in one of our dramas, we get a statement. The father, son asks father, father, when Swami left, put up, what is there?
The last drama.
Last drama. You know what father gives a dialogue there? My dear son, in the classroom, there are about 10 rows are there, and in the middle, the teacher walks. In the middle of this, he stands, so he could only see the front of 5 rows. Behind 5 rows, he could not see. Whereas he goes and sits in the chair, he can see all the 10 rows of students. Similarly, when Swami was busy in Puttaparthi, so many people are crowded along with him, so he was focusing on those people who were there. But now he has gone to his throne. He sits down in the heaven. He sees the entire world. He sees the entire devotees of the world. Are not one of them? Father tell the son.
Yeah.
Like that Swami is.
In this context, I remember when you mentioned now, when is darshan time, as you said, possibly. But the thing is, Swami also said, when I'm with man, I'm a man. When I'm with woman, I'm a woman. I'm with a child, I'm a child. When I'm alone, I'm God.
God.
So most of the time when he's alone in Poonchandra or Mandir or anything, I think he sees the entire universe. Everybody he keeps on seeing. Not that, you know, now he sees everybody. Everybody sees continuously. But the thing is, his attention is drawn when you are in front of him. That is only to, so that, no, that's purpose of, you know, for you to feel for that particular one, experience him, internalize him. Remember, as you are saying now, you continuously remember every day in the night, in the bed. You remember all those sweet moments which you spent with him. That is the one which actually relives in our memory. And that's what now.
No, just now you said, when I'm alone, I'm God. Once Swami, he said the same thing before me. Now what do you say for it? Nuyam Shaptav. That is, what do you say? Swami, I also say the same thing. Tell, I'm with men, I'm a man. I'm with women, I'm a woman. I'm in children, I'm a child. But I'm alone, I'm with God, I said.
Yeah, very good.
This is what I said. Swami, everybody clapped. Bhagya Shaptav. That's all. Enjoy his presence in you. He's there. What more do you want? You're not traveling alone. No. He gave this ring.
Oh. Shirdi Baba ring.
Shirdi Baba gave it. Yes. I don't think
enamel,
he has not given Shirdi Baba ring to anybody like except
this,
me.
Like this, yes. Huh? Yes.
In Kodaikanal, he gave a talk. My children, that is talking about students, calls his children. My children were very, very good in as long as they were in Prasanthi Nilayam. And they behaved very well. But when they go out of their houses and all those things, you know, they go back to their normal, their old style of living, which I'm really worried about them. I don't mind about elderly people, but I don't want my children also should live in the same way as they lived in Prasanthi Nilayam. He gave a talk. Then 2 days onwards, he called me, hey, you noob martyr.
You speak.
So you speak. So I said, Swami said like this. So therefore now we must have to practice, how to practice. Here is an example, I said. There is a car is there, the driver is there, owner is there, a owner is a Sai devotee. I keep the car ready, I'm going to the office. His driver said, yes sir. So he sits in the car, put CD bhajans. This driver wanted to put some rock and roll music, but here only CD bhajan, and wanted to drive, wanted to smoke. He cannot smoke because boss is seated, and then drive the car correctly without overtaking, no yellow lines. Whenever there's a signal, the car stops, his friends call him. He did not want to talk. He just see focusing in the road only. He goes to the office and stops, and then boss gets on. Hey, go to the mem sahab. Madam wants to go for shopping, go. Yes, sir. So he went there, he removes that CD version, tape, sigh, he puts his own music, started smoking in the car, driving in one hand, and go to the friends, pick them up, go to the tea shop, have tea, and then afterwards go back home. The wife, the lady of the house, asked him, why late? Traffic jam, madam.
Okay.
This is answering. Traffic jam, madam. Now you let us analyze the behavior of the driver when the boss was in the car and his own behavior when the boss was not in the car. When the boss was in the car, he is very, very perfect. When the boss was not in the car, he behaved like an animal. Now, car is your body. You are the driver. In the rear seat, Swami is there. Have that feeling. We can never do any mistake in life, I said. This is what I told you. Immediately, Swami was very happy. He materialized this and he gave this thing to me.
I would like to just, because this is audio only, this is an enamel gold ring. It's about 1.25 inch long and about 3/4 inch width, oval shape. And you can see a beautiful, beautiful features of Shirdi Baba. And also with the ornaments around the chain and, you know, the headgear which he uses with a gold zari, that is also being shown in this particular one. A very beautiful, smiling ring of Shirdi Sai. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Sai Ram to you. Sai Ram.
I would like to thank on behalf of the listeners of Radio Sai for taking your time off. Actually, today morning only he flew down from Chennai to Bangalore and drove about just 1 hour back. And without even taking rest, he has come to us. And this is how we are interacting with him.
It is Swami's work, no question of rest. We relax while we work.
Yeah, that is true.
That's all.
But the thing is, as you said, at 80 years, the body also requires certain amount of
nothing. Swami is there. Have Swami in you. Have Swami in you. That's all.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Sai Ram to you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, what you just heard was part 2 of a special conversation with Sri T.G. Krishnamurthy and Radio Sai's former director, Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, that was recorded in December of 2016. Dear listener, you could send us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number, 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam. It's me, Team Radio Sai Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai, and leaving you with some mellifluous songs. At 11:30, Brother Bishu will join you with his segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram. Let's
Shri Ganaraya Adi Vandu Tuzamuraya
गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे
कारण है శోక విదూర సకల శాస్త్ర నిగమాగమ సార జనన మరణ భయ శోక విదూర సకల శాస్త్ర నిగమ వివరే రామ రసం వివరే రామ
पदारविन्दम् मुखारविन्दे विनिवेशयन्तम् करारविन्देन पदारविन्दम् मुखारविन्दे विनिवेशयन्तम् वटस्य पत्रस्य पुटेशयानम्
गतायां व्रजनायिकायां भुक्त्वा यथेष्टं कपटेन सुप्तं बालं मुकुन्दं मनसा स्मरामि
बालं मुकुन्दं मनसा स्मरामि
Bye. ಹರಿ ಭವನಿ ದರಿ ದರಾನಿ ಭವನಿ ಭಗವನಿ ದ ಕಲಿಂದ ಜಾತ ಸ್ಥಿತ ಕಾಲಿಯಸ್ಯ ಫಣಾಗ್ರ ರಂಗೇ ನಟನ ಪ್ರಿಯಂತಂ ತತ್ಪುಚ್ಛಹಸ್ತಂ ಶರದಿಂದು ವಕ್ತ್ರಂ ಬಾಲಂ ಮುಕುಂದಂ ಮನಸಾ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಬಾಲಂ ಮುಕುಂದಂ ಮನಸಾ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ
ಕರೋ
ಧ್ಯಾನ ಕರೋ